We're discussing a very fascinating topic, which I never would have in a million years realized that when you're studying Purim, that this would even be a havamim, it would be an issue. And that is there such a thing as Kiddushas Hayom with regard to Purim? And I'm telling you by way of introduction here that this essay that we're learning today is guilty until proven innocent. What I mean to say is that the burden of proof is on the author to convince me that there's such a concept called Kiddushas Purim. But be that as it may, he starts his presentation with a very fascinating machlokas, which again, I never would have dreamt of such a thing. Now goes my monios, and this you see on the bottom of page Reish Lamed, if you happen to have that page, quotes Rav Amram Gaon. And Rav Amram Gaon, one of the Gaonim, is of the opinion that on the night of Purim, when you get to Tfilas Arvis, you omit Al Anisim. It's like the wildest idea I ever heard. Could you imagine, on the night of Yontif, let's say Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos, I would omit Yalav Yom. Crazy. And we're not talking about a B'dievet situation. He's telling you that in Myriv, you know, there's one exception which I'll get to, but as a general rule, 99 out of 100 cases, according to Rav Amram Gaon, we will omit, and we will not omit, I mean the word omit is a little bit out of place here, because there never was even a Havamina that we would recite Al Anisim in Arvis on the night of Purim. And the reason for that is because we haven't yet read the Megillah.
Yeah. And
the Rav Amram Gaon holds that until you read the Megillah, you don't recite Al Anisim in Arvis. So let's say, for example, I came a little bit late to davening, and they're reading the Megillah on the night of Purim. So in such a case, I'll hear the Megillah reading, then I'll daven Ma'ariv. I may or may not be able to get together a minyan, but that's irrelevant. I'm going to daven Ma'ariv, and I'm going to recite Al Anisim. Why? Because I already heard the Megillah. But if I haven't heard the Megillah yet, which for most of us is the case, then there's no Al Anisim. Now, the sheet itself is strange, but what's even more bizarre here is the analysis of the Agos Maimonides. Again, we're talking about the Rishonim now. And he analyzes this issue from the following perspective. He wants to know, listen carefully, would I recite Yalav Yovo on the night of a Yontif before I recited Kiddush? And he says the answer is an absolute yes. We don't have to wait till after Kiddush to recite Yalav Yovo. We'll recite Yalav Yovo in Ma'ariv. Why? Because it's Yontif. I don't have to wait till after Kiddush. And therefore, he says, I disagree with Rav Amram Gaon. My proof against Rav Amram Gaon is from the following analogy. Here are the two scenarios. Al Anisim in Ma'ariv before Megillah. Yalav Yovo in Ma'ariv before Kiddush. What is the Agos Maimonides talking about here? The whole analogy makes absolute no sense. You want to know whether or not you can recite the Yalav Yovo in davening before Kiddush. So, okay, you might say, well, I wasn't a Kaddish as Hayom yet, so maybe it doesn't have Kiddush Hayom. You can come up with all sorts of bizarre Havaminas here. But at least I know that Kiddush is a kind of Kabbalah Shabbos or Kabbalah Yontif. You know, Kiddush in some way, you know, in some possible scenario might initiate the Kiddushas Hayom, maybe. Maybe it's not enough that the sun went down, I have to recite Kiddush. Maybe some Havamina Kiddush. But what does that have to do with Mikra Megillah? In other words, if he wants to slug up the Rav Amram Gaon, he should have said to him, I don't understand Bechlal what you're talking about over here. I mean, what does Mikra Megillah have to do with Al Anisim? But instead of saying that, he says, I'm going to prove that that Rav Amram Gaon is wrong. And how am I going to prove it? Because if he was right, then I would not recite Yalav Yovo in Arvis before Kiddush. What's the analogy here? He's setting up a mirror image between Yalav Yovo before Kiddush and Al Anisim, again, always in my before Kriyas HaMegillah. So that's the problem that we've set, and it's a great problem again. Okay, so that's what we introduced yesterday in the Shia. So for anyone who wasn't here yesterday, I just want to keep you up to date. And from now on, you know, we're going to go a long way until we finally come back to answer this question. You know, I don't want you to think we're on the verge, on the brink of answering this question. But again, keep this in mind that the Dagos Maimonides, in rejecting Rav Amram Gon, sets up a very interesting and bizarre parallel or analogy. You know, A is to B as C is to D. You know, A, which is Yalav Yovo, is to Kiddush as B, which is Zalanisim, is to Kriyas HaMegillah. And therefore, according to you, Rav Amram Gon, the logical conclusion would be that we'd have to delay Yalav Yovo on the night of Yontif until after Kiddush, right? In the same way that you want to delay Ala Nisim until after Kriyas HaMegillah, then by parallel, so keep that in the back burners, because that's what we raised yesterday. So now we're going to
answer yesterday.
We didn't. No, that was just the introduction to. But wait, Rabbi, I don't want you to think the whole shiur yesterday was about that. I mean, we covered a lot about. Okay. You know, in case you have time to listen to the recording or something like that, I mean, I was always trying to get. But in any event, so that was the last part of shiur yesterday, and I want you to leave that in abeyance, and we're going to try. It's a very challenging a task here, a very daunting task, to come back and try to understand Rav Amram Gon, and then understand how the Agos Maimonides rejects Rav Amram Gon, but that you have to keep on the back burners for now. Okay. So where are we up to? We should be on a page called Reish Lamed Aleph. Okay then? Reish Lamed Aleph. Do you have such a page? If you don't, I apologize. It, you know, the logistics is a little bit beyond my capability. What I could do, Rav Osa, if anybody's interested, is I can email you the entire file.
Yeah.
But then I have to go a little step further, and I have to email you before a day before the Shia which pages you want to print out. And if you want to print out the whole thing, that's not a bad idea either. It's about 100 pages.
Really? 100 pages?
I think so. I didn't count them, but looks like about 100 pages. I'm just estimating. So that if anybody wants that, that's perfectly okay, and I can do that for you, because I don't even have the safer. All I have is what's on the internet.
Is the safer available?
I'm sure it is. I don't know who sells it. You have to find the Sirotskin family in Israel. I think they're in Telstone, if I'm not mistaken. So they might be selling his farm. His name is Rav Yitzchok Sirotskin. But for sure, if you're in Lakewood, New Jersey, you know, and you're not stuck in a traffic jam, have you been to Lakewood lately? I mean, the whole chachma of getting around Lakewood is how to avoid the traffic. I was on a street called 6th Avenue or something like that, 6th Street. For like an hour, it was bumper to bump with traffic. So the Yodei Dover know how to get by that. I mean, the traffic in Yerushalayim is also not so great.
Maybe ways.
Yeah. All right, Rav Osei. So we're up to Reish Lamed Aleph for those who might have the text, and we're up to the paragraph of Hine. And now we're taking a certain, shall I say, detour, and we want to discuss the mitzvah of Kiddush. Okay, and hopefully we'll get back to the discussion here from Amram Gon and the Hagos Maimonios and the analogy to Kiddush. So the machlokas that we have here that we're going to analyze is between the Rambam on the one hand and the Ran plus Rashba on the other hand. According to the Shitas HaRambam, Kiddush ala Yayin is only midivrei sofrim. So we have
anyway, whenever.
Correct. Whenever you make kiddush on wine, that requirement of wine is only a derabbanan. On a doraisa level, forget about wine. The Rambam quotes the pasuk Zocher es Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho, and the Rambam says Zochreu b'schiras dvarim divrei shvach ala Shabbos. So when I recite Kiddush, the recitation of Kiddush, which is an oral recitation, fulfills the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zocher es Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho. We'll soon see that other Rishonim disagree. But the Rambam then goes ahead and says, Midivrei Sofrim LeKadosh Al Yayin. So the requirement of Yayin in Kiddush is only d'rabbanan. Okay. So the Magen Avraham fleshes out the Shitas HaRambam, and he says the following, that according to the Rambam, in Tfilas Arvis, which is not al yayin, I fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa, according to the Rambam, of Zochas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Why? Because the same Nusach of Kiddush, which culminates with Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos, is in davening. I can repeat that over a cup of wine, but that's only for the mitzvah midivrei sof. So that's what the Magen Avraham points out. Now, this is all codified by the Shulchan Aruch and the super commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, which is the most important Siman about Kiddush. By the way, just remind me, if anyone is interested, at the end of the Shia, I'd like to share with you an insight of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, whose yahrzeit is coming up in a short period of time, on this whole concept of Kiddush Aliyah. He has a very fascinating insight, which I'd love to share with you. Now we have another super commentary on Siman Reish Ayin Aleph. In addition to the Magen Avraham, we have what's called Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger now quotes the Ran and the Rashba.
What is that?
And this is about 10 lines down in the paragraph Vehine. Rabbi, could you help Matt over there if you don't mind? Vehine on Reish Lamed Aleph.
He doesn't have Reish Lamed Aleph.
Oh, it's not on? You have it?
No.
You also don't have it. Okay, I apologize. This I gave out yesterday. Wait, you may have an extra copy of Reish Aleph. Reish Lamed Aleph, no? You know? Oh, okay.
I have Reish Lamed Gimel starting.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And up to Reish Lamed I have.
Do we have some extra copies there of Reish Lamed Aleph? If we do, we might as well enjoy them. Again, I don't mind presenting this to you as Torah Shebaal Peh, but if you have the text, that's also a good idea.
Yeah.
So on Reish Lamed Aleph, you'll see a paragraph on the right column that starts Vehine. And if you drop down about 10 lines in that paragraph, you'll see Rabbi Kivega, Hagos Rabbi Kivega.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Can you find it? The first word in the line is the Kiddush. You have that? And he quotes the Ran and the Rashba. The Ran and the Rashba hold that there's a requirement on a Doraisa level. Now, here we have to be a little tricky. It's Kiddush Al-Ha. Now, Al-Ha could be one of two possibilities. Both are equal opportunity alternatives, and that's Yayin or Pas. But whether or not you choose Yayin or you choose Pas, that's up to you. Now, the Gemara, for example, tells the story about Rav, that the Amora Rav actually preferred Pas over Yayin. Maybe he didn't like the very harsh, dry wine, I don't know. So he made Kiddush Al Pas. But that requirement is Doraisa. Which means, says Rabbi Kivega, according to the Rashba and the Ran, if you recite Kiddush in Tefillah, which we all do, you have not fulfilled your mitzvah d'oraisa, because you have not yet recited Kiddush ala yayin or ala pas. In what context does the Ran make this comment? In the sugi that we learned together here in this room about a month ago of Hanukkah, because in the mitzvah of Hanukkah, sugi of Hanukkah, the Gemara asks, if let's say you have limited funds, what takes priority? Should you buy Yayin for Kiddush, or should you buy a Ner for Ner Hanukkah? And the Gemara's final conclusion is that we prefer Ner Hanukkah because of Pirsum HaNes. So the Ran over there, in that sugya in Shabbos Daf Chav Gimel, he asks the following question: how can we prefer Ner Hanukkah, which is only a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, to Yayin for Kiddush, which is a mitzvah d'Oraisa? And he answers that he has a pas. Now, if he has a pas, he'll fulfill his mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush, says the Ran, all a pas. The yayin will be an embellishment. In other words, in a situation where if all things are equal, I'm not talking about Rav, who couldn't tolerate the yayin, but if, let's say, you could tolerate the yayin, and you have a choice between yayin and pas, so it's preferable to make Kiddush a la yayin. In that particular scenario, where he has pas, he doesn't have the money to buy yayin, unless he uses his very last shekel to buy the yayin. Alternatively, he should use that shekel for what? For Ner Chanukah. So in that case, says the Ran, the Gemara prefers that he uses the money for Ner Chanukah because that's greater than the enhancement of the mitzvah. See, according to the Rambam, it's much smoother. The Gemara reads, it's much simpler. The Gemara is saying that both are derabbanan. He was already yotzi his mitzvah of kiddush in davening or whatever, and zchiras dvarim bialma. He doesn't need neither yayin nor pas on a Doraisa level. So now you drop down to a Durabbanan level, and now you can compare two Durabbanans. And the Gemara prefers and gives priority to the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes and Ner Chanukah. According to the Ran, it's a little bit more complicated. You have to assume the following Ukimta. He definitely has Pas. So he's going to be Yotze his mitzvah Doraisa of Kiddush Ala Pas. Now he has a mitzvah Durabbanan, and even within the mitzvah Durabbanan, he could have been Yotze Al Pas. But the Rabbanan will say that if all things are equal, he should prefer Yayin. So in that priority of Yayin over Pas, we're going to give priority to Ner Chanukah because of Pirsum HaNes. It's a lot more complicated. But that's Rabbi Kiveger in Reish Ayin Aleph. Oh. So now the following possibility opens up in front of our eyes. That Gos Maimonios that we started with might actually maintain the following position. And again, I'm in the same paragraph, just a few lines fast forward. He says, Yesh Lomad that Gos Maimonios Heir, his complaint or his debate against Rav Amram Goin from Eni Yontif, he holds that Me'ein Hama'ora be Arvis. Afal pishalo kidsho kiharan ukirharash basfirale. So what happens is that according to the Ran and the Rashba, even though he's reciting Kiddush in Ma'ariv, he has not yet fulfilled his mitzvah of Kiddush, of Zalkas Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho, even on a Doraisa level, because he doesn't have what? Yayin or Pas. So therefore, Eni Yotzi Yedei Chovas Kiddush Doraisa in tefillah. Oh. Now we can say that Rav Amram Goin holds, like the Magen Avraham says, and that's what we would like from the Rambam, that Yotzi Yedei Chovas Kiddush Doraisa b'tefillah. Oh, so now we say the following. According to that goes my money. So again, we're not yet up to the analogy to Megillah reading, but we're just now we're focusing on one issue, and that is, would there be any hesitation in reciting Yalev V'Yavo in Tfilas Arvis on Leil Rishon Shel Yontif Shel Chag, based on the fact that he hasn't yet fulfilled his mitzvah of Kiddush? In other words, again, we're missing a... Rav Osa, again, this whole presentation is built on many, many, many different pieces of the puzzle. You know, what was that game the kids used to play in construction? You know, where you fit one piece into the other. You know, so there are many, many different pieces of the puzzle here. But one piece of the puzzle is that Yalev V'Yavo would only be meaningful after Kiddush. Says that goes my money. If that's the case, then how do we recite Yalev V'Yavo in davening on Leil Yontif? It makes no sense. Why? Because he hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah of Kiddush. That's if you assume that goes my money subscribes to the sheet of whom? Of the Ran and the Rashba. According to the Ran and the Rashba, Kiddush Doraisa requires Pas and Yayin. So in Tefillah itself, you know, if you open up a Siddur, right? So where does Yalev V'Yavo appear in the Siddur? Before or after Mekadesh Esa Shabbos, you remember?
Just after.
Right? We looked it up yesterday, right? Yeah. And that means that, you know, you could say, well, wait a minute, I can recite Yalev V'Yavo because I already use Mekadesh. Mm-hmm. So that depends now on the machlokas between the Rambam on the one hand, the way the Magen Avraham understood the Rambam, and the Rashba and the Ran on the other hand, quoted by Lagos Maimonides. Have you already fulfilled your mitzvah of Kiddush? And the answer is that according to the Ran and the Rashba, No, you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah of kiddush because you need what? You need yayin or pas. And therefore, that goes for Harmonious has the following cash on Rav Amram gone. If you're telling me you need this kiddush, this act of kiddush, which again, in the case of Mikra Megillah, is going to be, in the case of Purim, is going to be Mikra Megillah. Again, that's another piece of the puzzle we haven't gotten to yet. So then, in the case of Leil Rishon Shel Yontif, in order to be Makadish the Yontif, before you recite Yalav Yavo, you're in trouble because in Ma'ariv you don't have that option. So therefore, the Agos Harmonious proves that Yalav Yavo exists as an independent entity, meaning independent of Kiddush. Rav Amram Gon might not be impressed by that proof because he might hold like the Rambam, the Magen Avraham, that in order to be Yotz the Kiddush, I don't need, on a Daraisa level at least, I don't need Pas or Yayin. So with the bracha that in Shmon Esrei that culminates with Makadish HaShabbos or Makadish Yisrael Vazmanim, whatever it might be, I've already fulfilled my mitzvah of Kiddush on a Daraisa level. Hence, I can now go ahead and recite Yalav Yavo in the same Shmon Esrei.
Yeah, Yalav Yavo comes before.
Before Makadish HaShabbos?
Yeah, before the end of the bracha.
Before the end of the bracha, but after. Okay.
Atova Chartanu.
Oh, Atova Chartanu, and then it says Mikrai Kodesh. Doesn't it say Mikrai Kodesh?
Yeah.
So once you've described the day as Mikrai Kodesh, then you can say Yalav Yavo. Okay. So he says the following. On the top left, he has a Minchas Chinuch. And the Minchas Chinuch on the top left of page Reish Lamed Aleph, you can't miss it if you have Reish Lamed Aleph. The Minchas Chinuch wants to say the following, that this whole discussion about fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush, and let's say according to the Rashba and the Ran, you need Yayin, that's only relevant after Chashecha. But let's say, for example, you were makabel Tosefes Yontif as early as Plaga Mincha, Mibod Yom, says the Minchas Chinuch, in such a case you have no possibility of being Makai in the midst of Kiddush. I shouldn't say this publicly, because Mutav Shiyu Shogini, because we all daven, I think, and tell me if you don't fit this description, I do for sure, in the summertime, we all daven very early.
And make Kiddush before Chashecha.
And we make, well, yeah, that's the issue. You should know that the Shvir Shabbos Gilchasad is not happy about. But we make Kiddush. Let's assume you live in Manchester, England, right? And Lenny, when do we say Manchester, England gets dark in the summertime? 11, 12 at midnight? 11 o'clock midnight. Right? You're in Helsinki. I think in Helsinki it's about 2 in the morning. I don't know, whatever time it is. So you David Meiriv in Shul at 7 p.m. You came home at 8 p.m. Are you going to wait to make Kiddush another 2 hours?
That's the
truma. Only if you're a brisker, maybe.
The truma sedeshin in his first question.
So that's what the Minchas Chinuch is quoting here, the truma sedeshin. And he's saying that you cannot make Kiddush. In Lundus.
Yes, you can.
Oh, the truma says he can. Okay, so the Minchas Chinuch is quoting others, I forget all the names, who says he can't. What's the Lundus question here? It all revolves around what's the nature of Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yontif. Is Tosefes Shabbos meaning that I accept upon myself the entire Shabbos and I have the power to do so, which means that it's Shabbos Sai Lagabe Mitzvahs Losas, meaning the Isra Malacha, and Sai Lagabe Mitzvahs say like Kiddush, or we'll call it Onig Shabbos, and so forth. Or no, Tosefes Shabbos means I can accept upon myself an Isra Malacha, but it's not yet Shabbos. Until it gets dark out, it's not yet Shabbos. So as far as the positive mitzvah of Kiddush, according to this day, I cannot recite Kiddush. Let's look inside. He says, Plugta, Im Yachol Adam L'Kaddish Mibod Yom. So again, it's after Plaga Mincha. He already accepted Shabbos, or she, let's say she lit candles with in mind to accept Shabbos or Yontif. Now, the question is, okay, Tosefes Shabbos, he formulates it under a different category. So what I told you is what I heard from my Rebbe, but Minchas Chinuch says it a little different. He says it depends what's the power and the authority of Tosefes Shabbos. Is it Doraisa or it Dirabbanan? So again, in his frame of reference, Michas Chinuch is saying that if I assume that Tosefta Shabbos is only Derabbanan, then on a Doraisa level it's not Shabbos. We said it a little different. We said that even if Tosefta Shabbos would be Doraisa, but it's only as far as Isur Malacha, not as far as the full-fledged Kedush Sayom Le'inyan, the positive mitzvahs of Oneg and Kibud and Kiddush. Oh, so if that be the case, let's assume that we downgrade the level of Tosefta Shabbos to a Derabbanan, and now we have a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush. Now if we all like whom? The Rashba and the Ran, in order to fulfill that mitzvah d'oraisa, what do I need? Yayin or pas. Now, he recited Shmon Esrei, and there was a Kiddush in Shmon Esrei, but there was no Yayin and pas, so now he's still chayav in Kiddush d'oraisa. So it's very nice that he was mekabel on himself Tosefes Yontiv, but that's not going to set up a Kiyum d'oraisa of Kiddush. And therefore, according to one opinion, he doesn't tell you exactly whose opinion it is, so I don't remember right now whose opinion it is. We have to open up the Minchas Chinuch. But according to that one theory or school of thought, he now has to wait until Chashecha, when there's a full-fledged day of Shabbos and on a Doraisa level, in order to recite Kiddush, because he can't fulfill his mitzvah of Kiddush Doraisa during the time of Tosefta Shabbos. Oh, and then this is the Chumra Shita. Einam Akadish Ad HaLaila. He has to wait till 11 p.m. till midnight in those areas in which, in order to recite. I think in New York it gets pretty late. Anybody from New York here? No New Yorkers in the room? Or nobody's willing to admit they're from New York?
It's much later in Detroit. New York is early.
Oh, really?
New York is beginning.
Wow. How late does it get dark in Detroit in the summertime?
Yeah.
10 o'clock. You're getting close
Toronto?
To...
Yeah,
really. You're getting pretty close to Manchester now. You know? In New York, I think it gets pretty late, too. You know, I think it's something like... Yeah, something like 9 o'clock in the summer. I don't know. You have to check it out. All right. Oh, so now... Let's go back to the Hagos Maimonides, right? The Hagos Maimonides says that I have a kasha on the Rav Amram Gaon. Why? Because on Leil Yontif, right? Yontif Rishon in Meirev, we're going to recite Yal V'Yova, and yet he hasn't yet fulfilled his mitzvah of Kiddush, right? So before we said that if the Hagos Maimonides holds like the Ran and the Rashba, there's no possibility of being Mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush in Shmon Esrei because he doesn't have Pas and Yayin. So that means that we can even go now with the Minchas Chinuch and we can say the following, that if according to the Rashba and the Ran he hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah of Kiddush, he can't even make Kiddush al Yayin for another couple of hours until it becomes absolutely dark out, right? Because Kiddush d'oraisa requires not just Tosefet Shabbos, that you accept it upon yourself Tosefet Shabbos, but it requires Chashecha Mamash, it requires Laila. Is Lefizeh, he says, Yeshlomen da'agos, my money is Sheheir Mikol Yontif, Sha'omer Me'ena Ma'ora, how can you say Yalaviyovo in Arvis, Av Pishlo Kidjo, Ein Zemitne, we don't have to invoke the Shita of the Ran, forget about the Ran. All we have to do is invoke that shita in the Minchas Chinuch, which again is in Rishonim, that Kabbalah Tosefta Shabbos is not enough to engender Kedusha Shabbos for Kiddush. He cannot be Mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush Dorais until Laila, which means either if you take it one way, Tosefta Shabbos is only Derabbanan, take it the other way because Tosefta Shabbos is only vis-a-vis Isur Malacha, but not vis-a-vis Oneg Shabbos and the positive dimensions of Shabbos. If that be the case, then what the Hagos Maimonides has in mind is in a situation, the following scenario, it's Leil Yontif Rishon, you and Makabel Tosefta Shabbos with Plaga Mincha, right? It's really technically the 14th of Nisan, it's not yet the 15th of Nisan, because you're an hour and a quarter, let's say, before Shkia, and now you're davening Meirev. Are you going to recite Yalav Yovin Meirev? And what's the answer? A robust yes. How could you recite Yalav Yovin Meirev if you hold like this Shita? Let's assume the Hagos Maimonides subscribes to the Shita that you cannot fulfill your mitzvah of Kiddush until Laila. How then are you going to go ahead and say Yalav Yovin? So you see that Yalav Yovin operates independent of Kiddush, and if that be the case, then in the parallel of Megillah, of Al-Anisim and Meiriv going into Purim, I don't have to wait till the act of Kiddush in inverted commas, meaning the Kiddush of Kriyas HaMegillah, because just like in Leil Yontif, I don't have to wait till Kiddush, because I cannot fulfill Kiddush in this case where I was Mekadesh Biba Od Yom, with Tosefes Yontif, until Laila. And yet, no one denies, no one blinks a, is inhibited about the fact that you will recite Yal V'Yovo in Ma'ariv. Is therefore, even though the Kedushas Yontif has to wait, at least as far as Kiddush is concerned, has to wait until Laila, nevertheless, we're going to recite Me'ena Ma'or, which means Yal V'Yovo in Ma'ariv, Afal Pishalo Kidsho. And now we can explain that Rav Amram Gaon holds that Tosefes Shabbos or Tosefes Yontif applies even before Laila, either because it's Doraisa or alternatively because it's the full-fledged Kabbalah Shabbos, even as far as Oneg. And therefore, as soon as he recites the first part of the bracha of the bracha emtsayis of Tfilas Arvis on Leil Yontif Rishon, he's already fulfilled his mitzvah of Kiddush. Again, if we don't know like the Ran and the Rashba, and therefore he can go ahead and recite Yale V'Yovo. Ulam, he says, Yesh L'tmoa. This all makes sense if you talk about Kedusha Sayom. The Hagos Maimonides has a kasha on the Rav Amram going, how could you recite Me'ena Mor, Yale V'Yovo V'Yagia V'Yom Chag HaSukkos V'Yom Chag HaMatzos HaZeh, when the day is not sanctified? And you were not Yotze your mitzvah of Kiddush yet. And yet you're going to recite Yal V'Yovo in davening, either because it's Mibod Yom or because it's not a lakos, if you all like the Ran and the Rashba. And yet we're going to recite Yal V'Yovo in davening. You see that Yal V'Yovo works with its own independent rules and regulations. It's not dependent on Kiddush. And therefore the same thing should apply to Kriyas HaMegillah. He says that makes sense with regard to Yontif, the whole enterprise. You can talk about Kiddush Hayom. Is there Kiddush Hayom? And how can you possibly declare that it's Yom Chag HaMatzos HaZeh when there's no Kiddush Hayom? You haven't been fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush Hayom. That could make sense. But what does it have to do with Purim? My Shaychas Amiris Yalav Yovel Purim. Kona Mikra Megillah, right? Amiris mein hamaora kodem kiddush, that I can understand. Again, it doesn't mean I have to subscribe to this view, but I can ask the question: how do you recite Yal V'Yovo Yom Chag HaMatzos HaZeh before kiddush? You know, you haven't yet sanctified the day. But Purim ein la shum chalos kiddusha al hayom. There is no kiddusha hayom. Purim havi le kichol lichol davar. It's a day of chol. So again, we don't understand two things. But the first thing we don't understand is bad enough. We don't understand Rav Amram Gaon. Rav Amram Gaon says he cannot recite Al HaNisim when it's Purim because he haven't yet recited the Megillah. Megillah is not a Kiddush Hayom. What does it have to do with sanctifying the day? There is no sanctity to the day of Purim. Purim is a Yom Chol. So you're going to tell me I have to postpone Al HaNisim until Kiddush Hayom? Where's the Kiddush Hayom? Megillah reading is Kiddush Hayom? There is no Kiddush Hayom. There is no Kiddush Hayom. So we don't understand Rav Amram Gaon. But to boot, we don't understand the Hagos Maimonides. He wants to say, well, I'll prove to you that even without Kiddush Hayom, we're going to recite Me'ena Ma'or, because that's what we're going to do in Yal V'Yovo, even though he hasn't recited Kiddush. That's a good kasha, because, you know, there is such an entity called Kedushas Hayom with regard to Yontif. So you could say, well, this is a Pella. I'm reciting Yom Chag HaMatzos HaZeh in Yal V'Yovo when it's not even sanctified with that Kiddush. Again, the Kiddush of the positive entity. But what does that have to do with Purim? You know, to prove, therefore, in Purim I can recite Al HaNisim even before Megillah reading, that makes no sense. Now, again, we're going to have to put this on the back burners. We're making some progress, but we still need another few pieces of the puzzle. And now we're going to enter into a discussion that has two different dimensions to it, which overlap. One dimension is, what is the, I'm looking for a word in English, I'm going to use the word power or status of Mikra Megillah. Is it Da'oraisa? No. Is it the Rabbanan? Probably so. But in between there's something called what? Divrei Kabbalah. And perhaps Mikra Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah.
Not at night.
Oh. Now we get to the second issue. Is there a difference in halacha between Mikra Megillah by day and Mikra Megillah by night? So again, I have two separate questions for you, but they overlap. And that's going to be this discussion from two of the Gedolim that lived. One lived about 3 centuries ago, the other about 2.5 centuries ago. They were almost contemporaries. The first is the Nodeb Yehuda, and the second is the Shagas Aryeh. And they both came independent one of the other, to the same conclusion. And that is that Mikra Megillah is not the Rabbanon. We'll get to Lila in just a second, but Mikra Megillah is not the Rabbanon. It's Midivrei Kabbalah. So let's just say a few words about this. We're going to have to take this up as a separate shiur, whether Mikra Megillah is the Rabbanon or Midivrei Kabbalah. It has tremendous ramifications. I'll give you one ramification. If you hold that Mikra Megillah is Midivrei Kabbalah, it's not just the Rabbanon, you upgrade it to Divrei Kabbalah, then the normal halach of Safek the Rabbanon Lekula does not apply to Mikra Megillah. This again will have tremendous repercussions in all sorts of scenarios of Safek, not the least of which is whether or not you are considered a Prozi or a Mukaf Chom. Are you obligated to Megillah on the 14th or the 15th? So for example, I mean, I'm not embarrassed to tell you this, that up till about 15 years ago, or maybe 20 years ago, I don't remember the exact history, we used to have Kriyas HaMegillah in my neighborhood, which is called Har Nof, both on the 14th and the 15th. Why? Because there was not what you call Samuch. Samuch means an unbroken chain of houses that link us to the old city of Yerushalayim. At that point, it wasn't. Mevaseret, for example, where I taught for 18 years. Also, they used to have 2 Kriyas HaMegillah. One on the 14th and one on the 15th. And it got to the point where people at Mamish had each other's throat because the Sfaradim went one direction, the Ashkenazim went a different direction. Each community had its own posse. So this is classical Lotus Godin. You're saying if you're looking for a Plunta, it's about Yudalit and Tesfah. But there were many people who'd read it in those communities, even in Bayit Vagan originally, because Bayit Vagan was at a distance from the old city originally. Today, Bayit Vagan is like an integral part of Yerushalayim. And they would read the Megillah on both the 14th and the 15th. The Gemara seems to indicate that Rebbe, initially, and then the Gemara changes its mind, Rebbe didn't know about Tveria. Rebbe lived in Tveria, and he wasn't sure whether Tveria was a walled city from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. So the question that the Shagas Aryeh asked, a very famous question, so why do you read the Megillah on both days? I mean, choose one, and then apply the principle of Safek. We may not be able to get rid of the Megillah reading entirely, and that's a sugya in Arvei Pesachim. You know, the Gemara goes back and forth as to whether or not Hesev is on the first 2 kosos or on the second 2 kosos. So how many is to do Hesev on all 4 kosos? So the Ran already in Arvei Pesachim asks why don't we apply the principle of Safek the Rabbanon Lekula? I mean, the whole institution of Arvei Kosos is the Rabbanon, and certainly Hesev in Arvei Kosos is the Rabbanon. So he says that if we would apply that straight across the board, we would not do a save on any of the kosos. So that we can't. In that case, we don't apply Safek the Rabbanon Lekul. So the Shagas Aryeh comes to the conclusion that the reason why we don't apply Safek the Rabbanon Lekul in Megillah is because it's Midivrei Kabbalah. Now, the Shagas Aryeh seems to go a step further. That's not relevant to our discussion today, but keep it in mind for a Shia for next week in Mitzvah Hashem. And that is that the entire entity of Purim might be Midivrei Kabbalah. Because again, why should Mikra Megillah be Midivrei Kabbalah? It's a rabbinic institution. The answer is because it's codified in the Megillah. But what's also codified in the Megillah? Not just what's called Nizkarim, but also Nasim. Nizkarim refers to reading the Megillah. Nasim refers to Seudas Purim, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Lev Yonim, and that's called Nasim. So he wants to claim, the Shagas Aryeh, that maybe the entire entity of Purim, not just Mikra Megillah, is all Midivrei Kabbalah, because it's all codified in the Megillah. And that Megillah is part of Kisvei HaKodesh. And that itself is an issue, but it's part of Kisvei HaKodesh, and therefore it's upgraded to the status of Midivrei Kabbalah. And he wanted to go as far as to say that an Onein Rachmana Litzlan, when he lost one of his close relatives, as he had buried him, would drink wine and eat meat on Purim. Why? Because Divrei Kabbalah is going to override Aninus. And he invokes a famous principle, which is that Divrei Kabbalah is Tzrichim Chizuk, Yosef Mishel Torah, whatever it is. Again, that's a whole discussion. Could you imagine an Onein on Purim, this is like mind-boggling if you think about it, is going to eat meat and drink wine. And the fundamental essence of an onen is that he doesn't drink wine or eat meat. And all that is gone because of the mitzvah of Purim. If you hold it to Purim, it's Midirei Kabbal. So what I want you to do now is turn the page, if you can, to Reish Lamed Beis. And now we get to the discussion about the other question that I addressed. Is there a fundamental difference between Kriyas HaMegillah by day and Kriyas HaMegillah by night? The Gemara says in Megillah Daf Dalet, Om Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Chayev L'shanos HaMegillah, Echad Bayom V'Echad Balayla. Says the Shagas Aryeh, Rabbi Shimon Levi was the first one to mention Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla. It's not mentioned at all in the Mishnayos. He says the following: as far as Divrei Kabbalah are concerned, that's only Kriya Bayom. As far as this special takana of reading Megillah a second time, which is obviously the first time chronologically, but the second time at Laila, that's Divrei Sofer. That's a classical Durabanan. It's not Midivrei Kabbalah. You won't find it anywhere in the Megillah. Nowhere in this book of the 24 holy books of the Rit will you find anything about Megillah at night. It's all an invention of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And therefore, it's Midivrei Sofer. Now, it's fascinating because according to the Shagas Aryeh, we can begin to understand, which is our minhag based on Tosfos, and the Sephardic Rishonim rejected this entirely, that we make Shechiyonu not only at night, but even by day. And the Shagas Aryeh explains that although we've already experienced, so to speak, or implemented the mitzvah by night, so when we get to the daytime, it's no longer a new mitzvah. Like, for example, you would not make Shechiyonu on the Sukkah by day. You've already mentioned Shechiyonu at night when you recited Kiddush. But here it's different, because the Shechiyonu at night is on a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, and the Shechiyonu by day is on a mitzvah d'Divrei Kabbalah. It's a whole new mitzvah. And that's called in the language of Tosfos, Ikar Mitzvahs Kriya Bayom. The Ritva, however, has a different approach. And you'll take a look here, we're going to see both the Ritva and the Sefer HaRokeach in the same paragraph here. The Ritva you'll see on line 2. The Af Mikra Megillah Balayla Havi Midivrei Kabbalah. The Ritva indicates that even Kriyas HaMegillah at night is Midivrei Kabbalah. He doesn't buy into this Shita that in the Megillah itself the only obligation is by day, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was the one who invented this new entity of a Chiyuv Mikra Megillah by night. No, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was only interpreting the Mishnayos. When the Mishnayos says you have to read the Megillah, they meant both by day and by night. And the Ritva supports himself by the fact that Rabbi Shulman, the Gemara asks me, Nolan. The Gemara asks, how do you know such a thing, Rabbi Shulman Levi? And the Gemara answers with Psukim, that there were Mamash Yalfuses from the Tanakh to prove that you need to read the Megillah not only by day, but even by night. So the Ritva upgrades the Mikra Megillah at night to the status of what? Of Midivrei Kabbalah. What would the Ritva say about Shechiyonu? Only at night, not by day, because again, it's the same old mitzvah. It's just that you have to do the mitzvah twice. It's like Kriyas Shema Shel Arvus and Kriyas Shema Shel Shacharis. There's no hair's breadth of a difference between the two. Oh. Now, fast forward, if you will, to the end of this paragraph. Let's say 6 or 7 lines before the end of the paragraph, and you'll see a line that starts with the word af. And if you move towards your left, it says Ulam b'Sefer HaRokeach b'Hilchas Brachos. This is very impressive b'kiyus here. I would never have looked in the Rokeach, and even if I did look in the Rokeach, I would never look in Hilchas Brachos. And Simon Shin Samach Gimel, he writes that Ikar Kriyas HaMegillah Avi B'Laila. You know, it's not only does he subscribe to the view of the Ritva, which is against both the Yehuda and the Shagas Aryeh, that there is a Kriyas HaMegillah B'Laila, which is Midivrei Kabbalah. He goes even a step beyond, and he says that the Iker Kriya of Megillah is B'Laila. V'tzarech Biur, the Rokeach doesn't give us a clue as to what logic underlies such a view. You know, over and over again, the Gemara says that the mitzvahs of Purim are by day. For example, you know, in my yeshiva in Mevaseret, they used to go wild at night. Wow, you can't believe what went on in Mevaseret at night. Rabbi Feldman will testify to this. My wife is also part of the guilty, because she used to serve a certain kind of punch. at the celebration at night. So, you know, that punch went a long way. I don't even want to describe what went on. But anyway, in many yeshivas, it's not just in the Tzioni yeshivas, I mean, even the Haredi yeshivas, you'll see that at night they go absolutely wild. And I was always wondering, like, what's that based on? It sounds like total amaratus. The Gemara says, Sudas Purim Balayla is Lo Yotzi De Chovasa. The Meiri goes even a step further. The Meiri says, Purim doesn't start until day. He says that the night of Purim is not part of Purim. That's only a mitzvah of Kriya because of Rabbi Shmuel Levi. But again, that's a different discussion. I once published an article on this topic, if anybody's interested. But be that as it may, to go a step further, says the Sefer HaKeach, and tell me that the Iker Kriya Samagila is by night. You know what that means for Chayalim, who cannot get access to a Megillah, and they have a choice to go either to the left or to the right. They can go to this base where there's a Megillah at night, or they go to that base where there's a Megillah by day. According to the Sefer HaKeach, they should go at night to the place where there's a Megillah, even though they won't hear Megillah by day. That's mind-boggling. But Tzorech Biur, I don't understand. All over the place, we see that Purim is by day. And now you're telling me the Iker Kriya Samegillah is by night? So now we're ready for what I call a revolution. And as I said at the outset, Rabosai, this revolution is guilty until proven innocent. If you're not going to be convinced, and you're going to walk out of here and say, like that, Machmet Ahent, as we say, you're on very solid ground here. Because what he's about to say just defies everything that I was taught from the day I was born. Okay, now in order to introduce this radical chiddush, this revolution of sorts, we have to mention two Rashis that are very consistent. One Rashi is in his Pirush al Hashas at the beginning of Masechta Megillah, and the other Rashi is his Pirush on Megillas Esther. And in both cases, Rashi says that Purim is a Yom Tov. Now, Rabosai, I am absolutely convinced on the side here, don't quote me on this, that if you would walk up to Rav Soloveitchik on Purim and wish him a good yontif, he would throw you out on your head. If you did the same thing on Hanukkah, he would throw you out on your head. And Kol Shekein on Yom Ha'atzmaut. You don't wish a person good yontif if it's not yontif. You know, if you're a brisker, you know, you don't just say good yontif. You know, a Chag Sameach. You know, here in Israel, everybody wishes you a Hanukkah Sameach. Okay, according to the Rambam, it could be that Hanukkah is Sameach, because the Rambam says they established the days of Hanukkah as days of Simcha. But for us, you know, for 99.9% of the Rishonim, the Achronim, there's no mitzvah of Simcha on Hanukkah. But in Purim, we have two Rashis that call Purim a Yontif. Very significant. Where are these two Rashis? So number one, Rashi at the very beginning of Masechta Megillah, when the Mishnah announces that a prozi has to read the Megillah on Yudalid, so Rashi says, "Demishte v'yontif shetehele prozim b'yudalid umukafim v'tesvav." Look at that, Rashi. Rashi says yontif. He's describing Purim on Yudalid for the prozim, on the 15th for the mukafim, and he says it's a day of yontif.
But the Megillah itself says that.
Oh, excellent. Doesn't the Megillah itself say yontif?
Mishtevi yontov.
Okay, listen carefully. So this is the Sugya Daf Hey Omid Beis, and the Sugya says that this is called Tana Debei Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says that Purim is Asur B'Malacha. And why is Purim Asur B'Malacha? And the Gemara has a whole kash on Rebbe, because Rebbe went out publicly and planted a tree on Purim. The Gemara at the end says that maybe he planted it. He was in Tveria and he held that Tveria was Yudalid, and if he planted it on Tesvav, or he held that Tveria was Tesvav and it's Mukavchel and he planted it on Yudalid. The Gemara does somersaults in the air to try to explain how Rav Yosef, who has a brisa that says Purim is also b'malacha, could square with Rebbe. And how does Rav Yosef prove that Purim is also b'malacha? Because the pasuk says Simcha u'mishte v'yontif. So I'm a little bit pressed for time here. You have it. You have Tani Rav Yosef on Daf Hayam and Beis.
I have Hayam and Beis right here.
So can you read the pasuk that Rav Yosef quotes? If you don't find it, I'll have to find it. I'm just trying to save myself the time. There are two psukim rabosai in Esther, Perek Tes. One pasuk describes Esther sending out together with Mordechai an igeres to the Jews to tell them to observe these days as days of Simcha, Mishteh, V'Yom Tov. You have that, Sammy? Where is the pasuk? They're both psukim are in Perek Tes.
Rabbi Yosef, Simcha, Mishteh, V'Yom Tov. Simcha Malam Echa.
Oh, but where's the pasuk?
That doesn't quote it.
All right, so somewhere in one of the footnotes here, if not, I'll open up the Masifta. He'll tell you where the pasuk is. Should I open it up, or you'll trust me on this? Okay, trust me on this. Okay, no, there are two parts to Perek Tes. One part of Perek Tes is the message that was sent out to the Jews in the 127 provinces. The other part of that same parasha is the response of the Jewish people. And what they were, Kimu v'kiblu aleihem. So if you look at the two psukim, that's what the Gemara points out in Daf Hayam and Beis, there's a discrepancy between the two psukim. In the first pasuk, it's described as Simcha Mishteh v'yantif. In the second pasuk, it says Simcha Mishteh, but it doesn't mention yantif. Rabbi, so you see that on Daf Hayam and Beis?
Tet Yud Tet.
Tet Yud Tet.
Which one is Yud Tet? That's the one where it does say Yontov?
Yeah.
Oh, so again, Yontov. So now you have to fast forward a little bit in the same chapter, and the Gemara quotes it a little bit later, a few lines later, and it says that Kimu v'kibla lem, lasel sis yom ha'elu yimei, simcho mishta. Ve'ilu Yontov, loksiv. That's the Gemara's language. It doesn't say Yontov there.
Yeah.
Right.
Now again, Rabbi Osai, this is a very complicated issue in Purim, which I'm not going to get into today, but it seems that Purim and its observance depends upon what we call the system of checks and balances. Like in American government, you have something called the system of checks and balances. So Halakha also has a system that's parallel, and that's called Kabbalas Am Yisrael. When the Rabbanon instituted a certain mitzvahs or gzeiros or takonis or siyagim, whatever it might be, it's all contingent. Again, it's a long, long discussion, Rabbi Osai. Very complicated, long discussion. Hours and hours and hours of research on this. That the people of Israel have a right to say thank you, but no thank you. We don't accept it. It's sugyas all over shas about this. At the end of Avodah Zarah, for example, I don't know if you guys eat oil that has an OU on it, if you use oil. So the Gemara says there was originally there was a gzera of Shemen Shalakum, which means our oils in Chutzlarts at least would be awesome. But the Gemara says that the Tzibur never accepted that gzera. Even Pasakum, it could be the Tzibur never accepted. But it goes on and on and on. I mean, this is big time. This has to do, by the way, with a whole other issue, which I don't want to touch on because it gets politically very hot, called the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. You've heard of that?
Yeah.
Right, now the Mizrahi has its own Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. That's also a very hot issue, because halachically, I don't know if there's any significance whatsoever al pi halacha to a Moetzes Gedolei, whatever you call it. Whether it's Gedolei this, with the Kippah Suga, Gedolei that, with the big black hat. I don't know that the halacha recognizes that. For that you need a Sanhedrin. But anyway, leave that out. The point is that at the time of Mordechai v'Esther, they accepted part of the letter, two-thirds of the letter that they sent out, but they rejected the third part of the letter. And that's why the pasuk, tell me what number it is in the same chapter, it's probably number 22. So five psukim later, the response of the Jewish people was, yes, we'll accept it as far as Simcha is concerned. We'll accept it as far as Mishteh is concerned. But they left out Yontif. And the Gemara says it was not just an omission, that they deliberately left out Yontif, and they never accepted Purim as Iser Malach. So now we have Rashi. Rashi in two places says that Purim is a Yontif. Now that makes a lot of sense in Pasuk Yutes in Perek Tes, where it was sent out by Esther and Mordechai as what? As a Yontif. But in Pasuk Chaf Beis, it was, as the Gemara points out, they left out Yontif. So Rashi is a little bit of a pella, to say the least, because Rashi is telling me that Purim is a Yontif. And therefore he says here, quoting the Gemara in Daf Hayomid Beis, this is at the very end of the right column here on Reish Lamed Beis, going on to the top left column, Lebesof, meaning in Pasuk Chav Beis, Ksiv, it says, Lasos Osam, Kimu v'kibu aleim, Lasos Osam, Yimei Mishteh v'simcha. And the Gemara says explicitly, there's a quote from the Gemara in Daf Hayomid Beis, V'ilu Yontif, Loksiv. Which means that, as Rashi elaborates on it that Vishas Kabbalah, when they accepted the the transcripts, you know, the letters of Mordechai V'Esther, excuse me, V'Esha Kabbalah, Yontif Lo Kiblu Aleim. You may want to highlight those words. Those are words from Rashi. Yeah, Yontif Lo Kiblu Aleim. In Kain Tzarech Iyud. So what does Rashi mean when he says that Purim is called the Yontif? And not only does he say it in his Pirush on Beis, I mean, Beis, the beginning of Masechta Megillah, he repeats it in his commentary on Esther. And it says in Esther, HaChodesh Asher Nefach Lohem Miyogon L'Simcha U'me'evel L'Yontif. Says Rashi that this is a Yontif. And the truth is, you can't blame Rashi for that. The Pasuk itself says that the month itself, okay, so it could be that what the Pasuk means is that this is a month of Simcha, meaning it was meant in Haman's perspective to be the worst month in the calamity of all Jewish history. But instead, we celebrate Simcha. So when it says Me'evel Yontif, you know, you don't have to get so, it's not catastrophic if the Pasuk says that this month was turned to the month of Yontif. No one would say that the whole month of Adar is a month of Yontif. But Rashi says that Purim itself is a Yontif. Now, how far do we go with this, Rabbis? You know, you could say, okay, Nishkefel, so Rashi calls Purim a Yontif. Let's not get all tzehitzed about it. We don't have to get excited about it. But the Marshal, who lived 5 centuries ago, based on these 2 Rashis, came to a halachic conclusion, a nafkemina lahalacha, and he says the following. Imagine, this is in the second half of the paragraph, ulam, if you're with me. The Marshal wants to know, what happens if a man sets up a sudas purim, and he eats lots of good meat, drinks lots of good wine, what's missing? Pas. He didn't eat a loaf of bread. So he'll make Aleph Geffen at the end. He'll make a bar nefashis on his meat, right? But okay, he's not benching. So if you'd asked me, I would have said, who cares? Vushtei, where does it say that I have to be koveh suda al pas? Says the Marshal, I have to be koveh suda al pas. Why? Because Purim has a din of Yontif. And on Yontif, it's not enough to eat basar and drink yayin. You have to set up a suda. And this is derived from a hekesh between Yontif and Shabbos. Then on Shabbos, we have a separate mitzvah of kviya suda Shabbos, maybe even 3 a day, 3 on Shabbos, maybe 4, according to Rav Chidka. We don't pass like Rav Chidka. And on Yontif, likewise, is a chiyuv of kviya suda. Now, is there a chiyuv kviya suda on Yontif? There are many sugyas in Shas, especially in Masechta Sukkah, and also in Beitza, that seem to indicate, yes, that we have to be koveh suda l'pas. But Kivega has a big chiddush, which is not for now, that women are exempt from the mitzvah of being koveh suda l'pas. But as far as men is concerned, we have to be koveh suda l'pas. I don't think the Marshal is even aware of this Rebbe Kivega, who is 2 centuries later. But what I mean to say aware, he's not aware. No, you have to get used to my lingo. What I mean to say, he's not even aware of like the hava mina, that there's a difference between men and women as far as Kviya Sud is concerned. I don't think it was on his radar screen. He probably would have thrown Rabbi Kivei out of the basement for saying such a thing. But anyway, Rabbi Kivei has this fantastical chiddush that women are not obligated to be Kviya Sud. Anyway, says the Marshal, that just like in Yontif I have a chiv to be koveh suda, so to a Purim I have to be koveh suda. It's not enough that I ate basar and I drank yayin and I got to adlo yada. That's not enough. I need to be koveh suda al pas. How does he know such a thing? Because Rashi calls Purim a Yontif. So Rabbi said, why am I so excited about this? Rabbi, I just want to add one line. I'm so excited about this because he, the Marshal, who's one of the Gedolei HaPoskim, you know, the Marshal is like up there almost with the Rishonim. He said that transition. The Marshal took Rashi very seriously. He didn't think, okay, Rashi calls this Purim a Yontif, you know. So maybe from Rashi's perspective, if I say to you good Yontif on Purim, okay, you don't have to throw me out of the basement. We'll call it a Yontif. My nafkemina. There's no Issa Malacha on Purim. No one holds this Issa Malacha. We never accepted Purim as an Issa Malacha. So Mordechai and Esther wanted us to do so, but we refused. So Purim never went into effect as an Issa Malacha. It's not a Yantiv. But call it a Yantiv. You want to call it a Yantiv? Call it a Yantiv. It doesn't bother me if you want to call it a Yantiv. Says the Mashal, it goes way, way beyond that. This is a halachic categorization, a definition of the essence of Purim. It means that the laws of Yontif, the same way that I can fulfill the mitzvah of Yontif and I need v'samachta v'chagech, I need to be koveh suda, the same thing applies to Purim.
There's a sheet by Avelus, and Purim is mevato Avelus like a chag.
Right, and that's based the on this. That's the onen discussion that I had for you before.
Not just an onen.
Right, I'm saying
in
the middle of Shiva. But I'm saying Aninus, which is Lachora Doraisa. You know, Shiva is only Durabon. I mean, you have to know about the first day of Shiva. But anyway, that requires months of work on Avelis. But Onen is based on a pasuk in Chumash. Aninus is an institution which is Doraisa, and yet that's going to be overridden. Anyway, getting back to this all Rabosai, we see something unbelievable that Rashi in two places calls Purim a Yontif. And the Marshal takes this very, very seriously with an afkemin al halacha. Okay, now we get to Masechtas Sofrim. This is a compilation of brises. Now, back in the day, Rabosai, I don't know if you know this, but Kiddusha. See, we don't blink about Kiddusha because we're already, what's the word? Trained.
Indoctrinated.
But what I meant to say is
entrenched.
No, when you talk about someone who's machur in Hebrew, we call it, we're addicted. You know, we're almost addicted. We say Kiddusha twice a day, every day of the week. But back in the day, they didn't say Kiddusha every day of the week. In fact, the Sfaradim, even to this day, have a whole different Kiddusha during the week than they have on Shabbos. We also have a different Kiddusha than we have on Shabbos. Anyway, the source for all this is in Masechtas Sofrim. And the Braisa Masechtas Sofrim establishes the parameters of Kiddusha. When do we recite Kiddusha? When do we do not? And according to the Braisa Masechtas Sukkah, we only recite Kiddusha on a day that has Kiddusha. Which means, how do you judge whether it has Kiddusha? Musaf. Karban Musaf. And again, this is really a very lumdisha braisa mesetah sofer. Your barometer to decide whether the day is invested with Kiddusha, and therefore whether you should recite Kiddusha, is Musaf. In the language of the braisa, okay, by the way, if you have a Shas Bavli in the back of Avodah Zarah, they usually have the Masechtas Sofrim. Again, every Shas is a little different. And it says the following. It says, V'chein b'roshei chadashim. We're going to recite Kiddush on Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because it's Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. V'chein b'chol shel moed. Chol shel moed also has a special carbon Musaf. Okay, fine. Then the Braisa quotes Tani Rav Chiya, Kol Yom She'ein Bo Musaf, Ein Bo Kiddush, Chutz Min HaChanukah, She'af Al Pi She'ein Bo Musaf, Yesh Bo Kiddush, Mipnei She'yesh Bo Halel. So according to Rav Chiya, if I want to judge whether or not there should be Kiddusha, Rav Chiya says I can even drop the requirement of what? Of Musaf, and substitute the requirement of Halel. So what do we do with Purim? Purim imanafsha. Purim has no Musaf and it has no Halel. The Yesh Omrim, this is the end of the Braisa in Masechtas Sofrim. The Af Bepurim, Mipnei Sheyesh Ba Megillah. Now, Rabosai, let's leave out Chanukah because Chanukah is a little complicated. I don't know where Halel fits in, but that requires a lot of work. So let's put the line about Chanukah and Halel into classified information. But let's talk about Purim. Rabbanu Shlomo. On Yontif, I understand that you recite Kiddusha. On Shabbos, I understand you recite Kiddusha. Both Yontif, Shabbos, they all have Kiddusha Sayom. Now you want to make it into a klal. What's your abstract principle? That if it has a Karban Musaf, then you know it's invested with Kiddusha Sayom. Now we introduce Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh has Musaf. You would ask me what's the status of Rosh Chodesh. I would have told you it has no Kiddush Sayyam. But I didn't know about this Masech to Sofer. And the Rav Zichron of Avraham, one of his Yahrzeit Shirim, again, he doesn't quote this Masech to Sofrim, because I don't think he knew about this Masech to Sofrim, but he claims that Rosh Chodesh is endowed with Kiddush Sayyam. Then the Rav has a whole shir, which he says that's only in the Beis HaMikdash, not outside the Beis HaMikdash, and I gave this over to Toronto with all my chevra there in Clanton Park. Oh, now I have the Masech to Sofer. Masech to Sofer says, you know what? I'll prove to you that Rosh Chodesh is invested, endowed with Kiddush Sayyam, and will recite Kiddusha. How do I prove it? Because it has a carbon musaf. Now I get to Purim. Purim? Give it a break. Where's Kiddush Sayyam in Purim? If I would tell Rav Soloveitchik, if he was here today in the room, Rebbe, Purim has Kiddush Sayyam, he would say, Belzon, what are you thinking about? Are you off your rocker? He would say to me. Like, I remember one of my friends once yawned in shir. That was a bad thing to do. So the Rav said to him, Schwartz, what do I bawl you? Do I bawl you? He said. In any event,
Hare Nireh. The yawn and tefillah.
Right. Can you imagine, Rav Bosa, if every shiur I gave him the ELC, I would ask you if I bore you? I mean, I'd be saying it five times every shiur. Although I have to admit, guys, you get a compliment. Nobody fell asleep on me today. Okay, that's good. Anyway, see, so now, Rav Bosa, we have a Tosis in Sanhedrin, and the plot goes thicker. Tosis in Sanhedrin quotes the Tshuvas HaGaonim. That's a little bit rare. And you can look up this Tosis in your spare time. He says, Leka chiyuv lomar kedusha ela b'shabes v'yontif v'chein b'chol yom sheyesh bo karban musaf u'mikol makom chanaka u'purim af deles behu karban musaf. Again, there's a printing error here. It should say Mikavon. Would you have Machin? You have a printer of this. It should say Mikavon. Mikavon de Ispa Chanukah Halel, Ubepurim Yeshla Megillah, Chayev Lomar Kedusha. I mean, you can't be more explicit than that. That because Purim has what? Has Megillah. Therefore, Chayav Lomar Kedusha. Well, wait a second. If you're telling me that Karban Musaf endows the day with, or approves that it endows the day with Kedusha Yom, Nicha, but in Purim there's no Musaf last time I checked. Right? There's no Karban Musaf on Purim. So what does Purim have? Purim has Kriyas HaMegillah. No, he says Kriyas HaMegillah itself means that it has Kedusha, and therefore you recite Kedusha on Purim. That's not only one opinion at the end of Masechta Sofrim, but it's also the opinion of the Tshuvas HaGaonim. Mm-hmm. So imagine Rav Bosai. Every day of the week, with the exception of Shabbos, Yontif, and Rosh Chodesh, there is no Kedusha, or some sort of shortened version of Kedusha in Chazor Sashatz, right? But on Purim, there's going to be Chazor Sashatz, Rav Boshalom. There's going to be Kedusha in Chazor. What kind of business is this? Purim is a day of Chol. Now we're ready for the bomb. And again, in Rabosai, guilty until proven innocent, but there's a lot of evidence here. And he says the following on page Reish Lamed Gimel. He says that Shabbos and Yontif has a chalos kedusha al itzumo shel yom. You know, usually we reserve that phrase for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is itzumo shel yom. That's machaper as far as the kapar. But there's also itzumo shel yom with the kedusha sayom, and that applies to Shabbos and Yontif. Now we're extending it to any day that is endowed with a karban musaf. Kmo chen yom sheyesh bo musaf. Even though, in the case of Rosh Chodesh, there's no Isa Malacha, so my barometer L'chorah for Kiddush Sayom is Isa Malacha, that's common to both Shabbos and Yontif, I can extend it maybe to Chol HaMoed. Again, that's a little problematic, but let's say if I hold a coin to the Shita Saramban, that Malacha on Chol HaMoed is Doraisa, so even on Chol HaMoed I have an Isa Doraisa, an Isa Malacha. But now we're going a step further into the wild yon blue yonder, and we're saying that even Rosh Chodesh has Kiddush Sayom, and why? Even though there's no Isa Malacha, it's endowed with Kiddush Sayom, the Isum Shal Yom is Kodesh because it has a Karban Musaf. fine. And that's called Kiddush Sayom. If there's Kiddush Sayom, the day is endowed with Kiddush Sayom, it engenders an Amir of Kiddusha. Now, fast forward, here's the bomb to last four lines and change. Ukamochen. And this, you have two choices. Either you highlight this or you erase it. One of those your own. Ukmochen, Chanukah Purim, Afal Gav Shalesbuhu Karban Musaf, Mikomakom, Kevan Sheyesh Be Chanukah Hal, Ilbe Purim Megillah, Chal Gamkein, Chalos Kiddusha Be Itzumo Shal Yom, Yoser Mishar Yemei Achol, Ushum Hachi, Chayav Lomar Kiddusha Behe. So if I were writing a letter to the author here, I'd tell him maybe we should call four people to the Torah on Chanukah and Purim. Sure. On both Chanukah, but he's saying this endowed with Kiddush Hayom. Okay, so you say good yontif to me on Purim. Okay, so instead of laughing you out of the place, I'll tell you you're relying on the Gvuras Yitzchak. Rav Sarutskin would give you Yashikoya for wishing him a good yontif on Purim. And Rashi also would seem to be on board. The Marshal goes a step further. He says that Simchas Purim requires the same requirements of Simchas Yontif, which means pass. And now we're saying that we're going to recite Kiddusha on Purim. And who says such a thing? The Brice of Masech Nesofrim says it. The Chuvas Hagaonim say it. How could you say Kiddusha on a day that has no Kiddusha? So again, you know, Rav Bosa, I tell you the truth. If you empathize with me, I'm really in trouble here. Because, you know, in the last 2 months, I've become a big fan of the Sefer, as you know. I mean, I don't waste your time. I mean, the Sefer is written very meticulously. I mean, every premise he proves. I mean, you could always argue, but, you know, Shivim Panim LaTorah, but he's not saying, you know, just, you know, he wants to revolutionize, you know, say something just to impress you, you know, and say something bombastic. That's not his style. His style is very much a brisker style, you know, that every premise and every conclusion has to be gebuyt, it has to be built up. And here he's telling me something which I can't accept. You know, if you told me that this is one of the Yud Gimel Lekrei Hadas, I would have to admit I'm an apikoros. Why? Because I can't accept that Purim has Kedusha Sayom. Yeah, Joe.
I'm just a little bit confused. I thought at first you were talking about making Kiddush on that day with wine or challah.
Yeah, B'nai Akiva, they used to do that. They used to make Kiddush on Purim. Do you remember that? Anybody who was in B'nai Akiva, I don't know if they still do it to this day. They had a special Kiddush for Purim.
But now you're talking about making Kiddush.
They didn't say the Shem Hashem. But,
yeah. But we make Kiddush and Davening every day. So I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Kiddush on what?
I thought you were talking about making Kiddush. But then you're talking about saying Kiddush.
Reciting Kiddush.
In Shmon Esrei.
In Chazoras HaShas.
Sure.
Correct. You missed my addiction. What I said before, I don't know if you caught that, is that we're all addicted. So we don't know what's going on here in the time of Chazal. In the time of Chazal, they didn't say Kiddush at any time. Even our Kiddusha today is only a facsimile of the real Kiddusha. The real Kiddusha is on Shabbos and Yom Tov. I don't know if you say Keser or you say Naritzcha, but if you take a look at the Sfaradim have a, you know, like a watered down Kiddusha during the week. It's a major difference. So you know, we're addicted because whenever you come into this room, Dr. Joel, you come in with, and I do too, I don't take this personally, and I'm always afraid to say anything because some of you gentlemen think I'm attacking you. I'm not. But I'm telling you, you and I think, when we come into this classroom, that this is Torah's Lakshin. You know, Jewish life was always the way we see it today. You know, so I come to you and I tell you that according to Beit Shammai, you have to, when you say Kriyas Shema Shel Arvus, you have to lie down on a bed. And when you say Kriyas Shema Shel Shachar, you have to get out of your bed and stand up. So you say to me, what are you, crazy, Rabbi Berzel? Yeah, because the answer is, I'm learning Beit Shammai. So again, in the original formulation, our minhag over the course of centuries and generations has changed to some extent. But in the original formulation, Kiddusha was only appropriate for a day of Kiddusha.
After Anshei Knesset Gedol, Masakin, Shmona Esrei, they did not have
Kiddusha? Only on Shabbos and Yom. That was the original takon. And now the Brice is extending it to Rosh Chodesh. Uh-huh. And why? Because it has a Korban Musaf. So if you tell me, can I tolerate the idea that Rosh Chodesh has Kiddush Sayom? I would say yes. You know, there's a minhag, by the way, I don't know if you've ever seen this, I never saw this, but that women don't do malach on Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah.
And it's a Gemara in Chagiga or Titus, I forget where the Gemara is right now, because they didn't participate in the Chet HaEgel, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just saying that to speak about an Isra malach on Rosh Chodesh is not the craziest idea in the world. I mean, to say there's a conceptual concept of an Isra malach. There are other dimensions of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is the day of Hallel. Okay, it's complicated because we don't say a full Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. For example, how many people get called to the Torah on Rosh Chodesh?
Four
people. That itself elevates it to the status of Chol HaMoed, which certainly has Kedushas Hayom.
Because of Musaf.
Oh, exactly. It all comes down to Musaf. But now I challenge you. He challenges you. What are you going to say about Purim? Purim has no Musaf. Purim has no Isra Malach. There was a Havamina that Purim would have an Isra Malach. Who had that Havamina?
Mordechai
and Esther. That's not bad, right? That's a serious Havamina. I mean, they were part of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, at least Mordechai was. I don't know if they let women sit on that body, but you know what I'm saying? But Mordechai was part of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. And he insisted that we accept it as a day of Yontif. And Tony Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef had a brisa that there's an Isra Malach on Purim. He had to drop it because Rebbe went out of his way publicly to plant a tree on Purim, lafuki lahotzi mideyem, that we shouldn't think that l'maisa we accepted an Isra Malach on Purim. But again, you know, we're beginning to see that Purim is a little bit more complicated than we thought it was. Now, Rav Osai, what we have to do now is see if we can plug this in to the Hagos Maimonides and the Rav Amram Gaon, right? That's where we started. Okay. But before we get to this, I want to show you a machlokas here between the Rosh, which is classic. Again, Dr. Joel, you'll appreciate this Rosh because we're addicted to the Rosh, right? But there was another sheet that we showed him. The Rosh wants to know, what happens if by mistake you omitted Al Anisim on Purim? Let's say in Shmon Esrei and Birkas HaMazon, we have to go into all the minute details. So what's the bottom line? Because we're addicted.
No.
Machzirin Oso or Ein Machzirin Oso?
Ein
Machzirin Oso. Did you know? And I didn't know, but maybe you guys knew because you're more intelligent than I am. You're more well-read than I am. That the Rishonim who say that if you leave out Al Anisim on Purim, Machzirin Oso. Who says such a thing? The Sefer HaBatim. Who is the Sefer HaBatim? I do not know. But take a look in the Rosh. The Rosh is on your bottom right on page Reish Lamed Gimel. Mm-hmm. And the Rosh says, you'll see it about 10 lines down into the paragraph Vehine, the first Vehine. Mm-hmm. And he says, Simon Tesvav, this is a Masechta Megillah. Shamina Mihach Brisa. Again, we have to go through the Brisa, but he says the Misha Tov Elo Hizkir Al Anisim V'Chanuk Purim Ein Machzirno. So why? Because Ein Machzirno. So as far as any addition, what we call Tosefes or Hazkara that's added to Shmon Esrei, whether it's called Me'ena Ma'ora in the case of Shabbos, is because of Kedusha Shabbos. Those are critical parts of Shmon Esrei. If what? If it's a day Sheyesh Bo Musaf. Meaning if it has, it's endowed with Kiddush Sayom. So if it's endowed with Kiddush Sayom, and Rav Salvechik again in the Yortzai Shurim has a lot about this topic, then the Tosefis, the Azkara Sayom, is absolutely critical, becomes part of the Matbeah Shel Tefillah, and Machzirin also. But on Purim and Chanukah, with all due respect to Al Anisim, that's not a day that's endowed with Kiddush Sayom, it doesn't have a Karban Musaf, and therefore if you accidentally omitted Al Anisim in Shmon Esrei, then Ein Machzirin also. Fine. So he elaborates on this on the last two lines on the right side of the page, and then going on to the top left, and basically says that it all depends on, in other words, Karban Musaf is a Gilui Milsa. It's a barometer to indicate Kiddush Sayom. Yontif has a Karban Musaf. Shabbos has a Karban Musaf. Rosh Chodesh has the Karban Musaf, and therefore the Tefillah must have the Azkar Sayyom, Yal V'Yovo, Ritzei, whatever it might be. Masha Ein Kein on line 4, Yomim Shein Be'em Karban Musaf, Etzem Hayom Ein Bo Chalos Kedusha. And I find I'm very comfortable with that statement, that the Rosh maintains that Purim and Chanukah, with all due respect, have no Chalos Kedusha. And if they have no Chalos Kedusha, then there's a separate din, L'chatchila, of Me'ena Ma'ora, that's part of Pirsumei Nisa, but it's not a critical part of Tefillah. And then he goes on to quote in the next paragraph, line 4, the Sefer Batim. And if somebody could Google this, maybe as we speak, Yechiel's not here, he would be my man for this. If you could Google Sefer Batim, find out what his name was. He was one of the Rishonim, I forget his name. And he writes in Perek Gimel Milchus Tefila, in the name of the Rav HaNogid, who that dates back to the time of the Gaonim, he writes that when it says that if you omitted Al Anisim Eimach Zirnoso, that's only a separate halacha in Tefilas Shachris. Mipnei sheyeshba pirsum kriyas hahalel o megillah. In other words, that since the way that Chazal organized Tefillah Shachris is that incorporated into Tefillah Shachris, we have Hallel on Purim and we have Kriyas HaMegillah on, I'm sorry, Hallel on Chanukah and Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. So once we have these two mitzvahs that were already incorporated into Shachris, Nishkefelech, if you left out Al Anisim, not tragic, it's not the end of the world, because in any event you're going to recite Hallel on Chanukah, you're going to recite the Megillah on Purim. However, Abul B'Tfilas Mincha, well, now we get to Mincha on Chanukah, Mincha on Purim, She'ein Ba Pirsim Lodas Hayom, we have neither Hallel nor Kriyas HaMegillah, Machzir Noso. If he left out Al Anisim in Mincha, he's going to have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei. Hari Svirle, the shiny Chanukah Upurim, Mishar Yomim Shein Lehem Korban Musaf. Any other day that doesn't have a Korban Musaf, if you add something to the tefillah, that's fine, that's wonderful, that's l'chatchila correct, but if you omit it, Ein Machzir Noso. But Chanukah Upurim, it's not so simple. You're going to really have to have an Al Anisim. You can vicariously fulfill Al Anisim through Hallel on Chanukah or through Megillah on Purim, but if you don't have that possibility, then Al Anisim becomes critical. Ubibir adover nire, the alpia mavur, based on what we said in the Marshal and what we said in the Brisa Masech the Sofrim and what we said according to the Gaonim in the Tshuvas HaGaonim quoted by Tosfos, he says the following. Hare de Svirle la Sefer Abatim, de Shiny Chanukah Kefan, Bibir adover nire, alpia mavur, de Chanukah Purmafal Gav, de Lespe. Lesbahu Karban Musaf Mikomakom Mikem Shiesh Bachanaka Kriyasahal Bupurim Kriyasamagila Chal Chalos Kedusha Bitsumo Shel Yom Ukedushas Hayom Chayevis Tfilim Yuchedis Liyom. Whenever there's Kedushas Hayom, this we saw in the Rosh already in Masech the Megillah, then the Kedushas Hayom generates a chiyuv of adding Me'ena Ma'ora, meaning an Askara, Tosefis Tishmon Esrei, which becomes part of the Matveya Shel Brach, and it's critical. It's Lakach. Insofar as we're upgrading Megillah and Purim to the level of Kedushas Itzumo Shel Yom, then again we're going to have to apply the same yardstick that we apply to Shabbos and Yontif, namely that any Askar and Tefillah is absolutely critical, becomes part of the Matbeah Shel Tefillah. And what we're saying is that Purim doesn't fall short of Shabbos and Yontif, or Rosh Chodesh for that matter, as a day that's endowed with Kedushas Hayom, which generates a Tefillah Miuchedes, and somehow we have to fulfill, within the broader framework of Tefillah, that Tefillah Miuchedes. And how do we fulfill that? So in Shacharis, we have our own, again, it's not in Tefillah, but it's within the broader framework of Tefillah, that has to be understood. But with regard to Mincha, we're really stuck. Because in Mincha we have no expression in Tefillah of the Kedushas Hayom. And therefore, according to the Sefer Abatim, Al Anisim becomes critical. And if you omitted Al Anisim in Mincha, then he's missing a chunk of Ikar Tefillas Hayom, and therefore Machzirin also. So again, Rabbi Osei, let's just calculate before we finish this Maimar. We're almost at the end. I hope we still have a few minutes. Some of the nafkaminas here to this bombastic chiddush that Purim is endowed with Kedush Sayom. Number one, we have Kutyantiv. Okay, I'm just kidding. Number two, we have the Marshal. The Marshal says that you have to be Koveh Suda Lapas in order to fulfill Simchas Purim like you have to do in Simchas Yontiv. Number three, we have, according to Masech the Sofrim, according to the Esh Omrim in Masech the Sofrim, and we have the Tshuvas HaGaonim that we recite Kiddush on Purim, even though it doesn't have It doesn't have a korban musaf. And now we have another nafkamina that basically, if you don't embellish the tefilos hayom with some sort of expression of a tosefes haskara, then you have to repeat Shmon Esrei, because the requirement of tosefes is now critical to the very essence of tefillah, as if it were a day that was endowed with kedusha, because Purim has a certain level of kedusha hayom. And now we're going to say the following. We had the Sefer Rokeach. The Sefer Rokeach says that the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is which one? The Lila. That's mamish wild, right? So he wants to say the following. That Kriya of the Megillah is a substitute for Kiddush. Again, you can only say that if you grant me the premise that Purim is endowed with Kiddush Sayom. And if it's endowed with Kiddush Sayom, it requires Kiddush. We said Kiddusha might be required. Now we're adding Kiddush. Okay, if you're Bnei Akiva kids and you want to make a good fun joke on Purim, so you'll recite Kiddush. But now it's saying that basically, fundamentally, there should be Kiddush on Purim. Then maybe the Bnei Akiva kids are not far from the mark. Whoa, I'm getting myself a little distracted. But are you with me, Rav Osai? Let's try not to get distracted. Okay. So, where is Kiddush on Purim? Where is Kiddush on Purim? You're telling me now that Purim is endowed with Kiddush Sayom. Whenever there's an endowment in the day in Kiddush Sayom, I need a Maisa Kiddush. Where's my Maisa Kiddush? Says the Rokeach, Kriyas HaMegillah. Which Kriyas HaMegillah? The Laila. Kriyas HaMegillah now takes on a whole new entity. I both say this is so creative. Again, it's so creative that I think it's wild. But I'm just telling you, for the sake of, you know, Shivim Panim LaTorah, let's learn what he has to say. And now we get to the page Reish Lamed Daled, and he says there Rashi in Masechta Shabbos tells us that Purim is a yontif. And how do I fulfill the mitzvah of Purim? How do I sanctify Purim as a yontif? The answer is with Hodah. I have to thank Hashem for Purim. Okay, that's very good. In the case of Hanukkah, I know how to thank Hashem for the Nisim. I'm going to recite Halal. In the case of Purim, I don't have Halal. So how do I make the day into a day? How do I convert this day, transform into a day of the sanctity of Purim, if there is such a concept? The answer is that there's a substitute Hodah. What is the substitute Hodah for Halil? Instead of Halil, what do we do on Purim? Megillah. We read the Megillah. Megillah now becomes the vocal, the means, shall I say, the conduit to engender the day with Kiddush Sayom. So Rashi says that in the case of Al Anisim in Hodah, then that becomes critical. In other words, now we have the following. Both on Chanukah and Purim, we have two ways, two methods of engendering the Kedusha Sayom and fulfilling this mitzvah of quasi mitzvah of Kiddush. We have number one, Hodah. Hodah can be fulfilled on Chanukah through what? Through Halil. Hodah on Purim through what? Kriyas HaMegillah. Now we have another way of making the day into a day. And what's that? What's the other Hodah that's common to both Chanukah and Purim? Al Anisim. So then Al Anisim is not just Azkara, but it becomes part of the very Yontif, the fabric of the Yontif of Purim. And just like we recite Yalla V'Yovo on Yontif, and that Yalla V'Yovo becomes part, because again, everybody agrees that if you leave out Yalla V'Yovo, you have to repeat Shmon Esrei. So Shmon Esrei, and specifically the Azkara of Shmon Esrei, now becomes the vehicle to express and reflect the Kedusha Yom of Yontif, and you have to do that in the framework of Tefillah, and otherwise, if you fail to do so, you have to repeat the Tefillah, and get it right on the second round. So too, Al Anisim, insofar as it becomes a vehicle to sanctify the day of Purim as a Yontif, that becomes critical. And that's the Sefer Abatim that we said before, that you have to somehow within the broader context of Tefillah generate the Kedusha Sayom through Hodah, and that's Al Anisim. And if you leave out Al Anisim, at least in Mincha time, you're going to have to repeat the Shmon Esrei. And if this be the case, then maybe that's what the Rokeach wants to get out of the Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla. The Iker Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla, because Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla is not just an act of Pirsum HaNes. It's not just an act of expressing Hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather it's a vehicle to sanctify the day of Purim with Kiddush Sayom. Because we don't have Kiddush on Purim, so what do we end up with? We have Kriyas HaMegillah. And which Kriyas HaMegillah is going to endow the day with its status as Yontif, as Kiddush Sayom? It's going to be the Kriyas HaLayla with the inception of Layla. The Kriya by day is an extra cherry on top, according to the Rokech. It's just an extension of Pirsum HaNes on the daytime. But the Kriya Salaila now has within it, contains within it the power. If that be the case, let's go back to Rav Amram Gon. Rav Amram Gon says that you cannot recite Al Nisim until after you read the Megillah. So you can ask him a question: what's the connection between Kriyas HaMegillah and Al Nisim? And the answer is because Rav Amram Gon holds, like the Sefer Abatim, the Chanukah Purim, you have to read the Megillah in order to engender the Kedush Sayyam. And if that be the case, just one second. Is Chal Kedushas Itzumo Shel Yom Kedush Sayom? So now, what's the purpose of Al Nisim? According to Sefer Abatim, Al Nisim now is the vehicle through Tefillah, which engenders the Kedush Sayom of the day, and that's why it's absolutely critical. Well, you can't engender the Kedush Sayom of the day through Tefillah until first you have to be Makadish the day. How do you Makadish the day? Says Rav Amram Gon through Kriyas HaMegillah. Once you Makadish the day, and now the day takes on Itzumo Shel Yom with Kedush Sayom, now you could go ahead and recite Al Nisim. Because Kedusha Sayom depends on Kriyas HaMegillah, and that's the getter of Kiddush to be Makadish the day and sanctify it with the status of Yontif. Ubishubahachi, we're out in the top left. Svirle, Dechol Shalom Karo Adan. If you haven't read the Megillah, Ain Omrim Al Anisa, because you can't talk about Al Anisa before the day is sanctified. Comes along that goes my money, and he says, wait a minute. If that be the case, then it's an exact parallel to Yalav Yom on the first night. How could I recite Yalav Yom before I've sanctified the day? And in order to sanctify the day, I have to recite Kiddush. Either he's holding like the Ran and the Rashba that you cannot recite Kiddush in Tefillah because you need Yayin, or he's holding like those who say that in the case of Mibad Yom, where you recited Shmon Esrei after Tosefes Yontif, that's not enough to endow Kiddush, to substitute for Kiddush, and nevertheless, we still say Yalav Yom. So you see that Yalav Yom has an independent mechanism, that you have a tefillah of tefillah Shabbos, tefillah Yontif, and that itself is enough to engender Me'ein HaMa'ora. And therefore, even if on Leil Purim you haven't yet recited the Megillah, says Agos Maimonios, it doesn't matter. We don't have to wait for Kiddush because it's already a tefillah of Purim. On Purim, we have three tefillahs. We have Arvis, Mincha, Ma'ariv. On Arvis of Purim, it's already enough of Purim to justify Me'ein HaMa'ora. It'd be interesting to know what would the Sefer Abatim say if he left that Al Anisim in Ma'ariv. He only mentions Mincha. I don't know what he'd say about Ma'ariv. Oh, hello Purim. Now we have Purim, Lefi Amavur. Oh, I think we have to stop. Anyway, we got to the end. If you want to take a look, we'll just quickly read the last punchline. He says, Lachain Shapir, Dima, the last four lines. Ha'abagos, my money is Purim, L'chol Yontif, Shomer Mein Amen, Oraf, Opishadai, Lo Kidsho, K'mochein B'Purim, Havile L'meimar, we should say, according to Rav Amram Gon, if we want to be consistent, that you cannot recite Al Anisim in Arvis because he wasn't Mekadesh the night, because he hasn't yet read Kriyas HaMegillah. From both sides, it's up to you. If you like it, take it. If you don't like it, you don't have to take it. Who's this? Rav David HaKochavi. Oh, this is the Sefer Abatim. Oh, can you tell me just when he lived?
Provence.
What period of time is he? I'm pretty sure he's a Rishon.
Rishonim. It says it right
there. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong line. Ah. Rav Shmuel HaKochavi from Ishtaila. I don't know where that is. That's in France somewhere. It's Kufa Sarishon, Machaber Sefer Sefer Shkoy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Based on this, Rav said that an Ofel should be davening on Rosh Chodesh because of the Kedushas is a
Kedushas that Rav spreads out.